Because again, I want us to kind of have our focus centered on Jesus in our time of prayer and fasting. Because as I stated just a moment ago, again, the objective is not to get the fasting done. The objective is to have an encounter with his presence. Amen. Luke chapter 10, we're going to go down to verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And for those who follow along with us on the YouVersion Bible app, the notes are already uploaded there, and you can add your notes as you need to and save it for later study. Also, let me just make a note that at the very bottom of those study notes, I have some discussion questions for you to wrestle with. So if you journal, use that as kind of a way to journal, okay? So if you have the YouVersion Bible app, or if you have no idea what I'm talking about, I'll be right in the hallway. Amen? Amen. If you have it, say, I got it. It reads, now as they went on their way, this is they being Jesus and the disciples, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she said, she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted. Everybody say distracted. With much serving. And she went up to him and said, I love this, because I can just use my Holy Ghost imagination. She was probably got her hand on her hip, rolling her neck. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen a good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that as we even see in this passage, and we have just sang, God, that it is important for us to be at your feet. So, Father, I pray that you will give us wisdom on how to pause in our daily rhythms so that we might have better encounters with you, Lord. I pray that in those moments of pause, that we would be energized, encouraged, and empowered, God, because we've experienced your presence. Father, I ask for wisdom for every one of us because, God, we know that busyness is around the corner. But, God, give us wisdom on how to just pause to engage you, Lord. Father, we love you, and we declare we place no one above you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's amazing that even in our best efforts, that we can often be distracted or really even drift away when we go to these times of fasting and prayer. And I just want you to be human for a moment. Can you be human for a moment? How many have sat to pray to God and you find yourself drifting off into other things? You found yourself wondering about who's calling, whose call you missed, whose text message you need to reply to, email to reply to, and you're thinking about, okay, I got to get this done, that done, this done, and it's just never ending. And it seems as though the enemy knows exactly how to distract us from the Lord, because it feels like whatever comes up, we feel like we're obligated to do something about it. I wish I had some help right there. That we feel as though that we got to find ourselves doing something. And I know for myself, I know, you know, I can be very, let me just be human for a moment. So my wife said something to me, and I kind of got in my feelings the other day. You know, I started doing this little training on Friday mornings. And I was doing pretty good. And then I came in the house, kind of, and she, in her Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost fervor, she says, baby, you need to stop doing that. And I just looked at her. I said, how are you going to tell me what I need to do. I can handle this.
Now, I didn't say this out loud. Don't get it twisted.
I was saying this in my spirit. All right, yeah, okay, stay with me now. I'm going to bless you, all right? It was at that moment when she says, and she really didn't even say stop doing it. She says, I really would like for you to do something else. And even as nice as she said that, I still felt some kind of way about it. Because it was something that I felt like I really enjoyed, that I felt like I must do. But her discernment was, you need to stop. And I think God puts people in our lives just for that reason, that sometimes we can't even see the harm that we're doing to ourselves, but that because we're around other people, they see things that we're not privy to seeing, and they tell us, hey, you need to stop doing that. Because if not, we'll find ourselves drifting and start worshiping a new God. And this new God has a name. His name is busyness. We'll find ourselves giving ourselves wholly and completely to this God called busyness. Let me give you some descriptions of what we do when we worship busyness. We will sacrifice more time for busyness. Y'all trying to figure out, how can I sacrifice more time? You'll start jamming your calendar full of stuff. You ain't got to say amen. This is going to be one of these rough kind of sermons. Many of us will devote much of our days to being busy. One of us, and some of us, will wear a garment of weariness as a praise to busyness. Many of us will sacrifice time, talent, treasure to this God without question or quarreling, because we want to be found faithful to busy. Some would even look down their nose at those that don't worship busy, and they would view them as less than or even lazy. When busyness calls, we will answer and obey without complaint or hesitation. Matter of fact, busyness will bless you from time to time. It'll give you promotions, positions, possessions, and so much more. Unfortunately, this God called busyness will rob you of time to enjoy any of it. And if anything, he will add more worries to your life than more joy. This God doesn't care anything about you. No, he doesn't. His objective is to keep you so busy, so distracted from the true and living God, the one who promises that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The word of God says this. Just jot down Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. He says, the blessing of God adds riches and does not add sorrow to your life. That when we have God in our life, he adds riches, not sorrows, to our life. Let me give you some quotes that I found as I was studying on this topic of busy. In the New York Times, it was stated, in Silicon Valley, working 9 to 5 is for losers. If you're only working 9 to 5, you are a loser. Gary Vaynerchuk, who's an entrepreneur and angel investor, says this. He says, you should work 18 hours a day, every day. No vacations, no going on dates, no watching TV. He says, if you want the bling bling, if you want the buys, you want to buy the jets, he says, you got to work. That's how you get it. He goes on to say this. He says, I rarely get to see my kids. That's the risk you have to take. Another venture capitalist, Keith Rebois, says this. He says he worked for 18 years while taking less than a week of vacation. This is not just those who are in business or who are venture capitalists. This has also creeped into the church. There was a video that had been circulating on Facebook and social media about this pastor who got up one Sunday morning, expressed how tired he was, how exhausted he had been because he had been given so much of his time, working 7 days a week, many, many hours. for 11 years. And he realized that he felt disconnected from God. Preaching every Sunday, leading Bible studies, counseling people, but felt disconnected. Because the one thing that God called him to is now causing pain in his life. I interviewed a pastor when I was in seminary who had been pastoring for 40 years. And part of this class was about understanding rhythms and understanding that you got to have these moments with God. And I said, okay, pastor, you've been pastoring for 40 years. School this young fella. I said, tell me, how do you find time to just get away and rest? The pastor looks at me, says, what's that, vacation? I don't take vacations. I keep giving my time, and God gives me rest. Yes, the Bible says that if you come to Jesus, he will give you rest. Praise God for that. But every now and then, Jesus had to stop and get away from people. You ain't got to say amen. I intentionally hide from people. So I want y'all to jot this down real quick so you won't be surprised when this happens. On Mondays, I rarely gonna answer your phone call. On Mondays, I'm rarely gonna reply to your text message because that is my time to get with Jesus. I didn't think I was gonna get an amen on that, but that's okay. Because I think if we don't dedicate the kind of time that we need, time will get away from us. Time is the one commodity we cannot get more of. And God has allotted us time, not for our own pleasure, but so that he might be glorified in the time that he gives us. So we have to be deliberate and say, God, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to sit at your feet. Why? Because when I get to Jesus, he has a way of restoring me. And the world wants you to believe that as long as you keep going, as long as you keep doing, that at some point you're going to retire and enjoy life. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible tells me that he came that I might have life and have it more. But he doesn't say I have to wait till I get to 68 to retire and rest. I can do that right now. And so I'm not going to give the enemy that kind of shine. No. I will stop answering phone calls just so I can get to Jesus. Amen, somebody. So as we look at this passage, it gives us some really helpful hints on how to have these Holy Ghost moments with Jesus. Because in this story, we see two ladies, Martha and Mary, who are in the same house where Jesus is. But you see two totally different approaches on how to honor Jesus. In one instance, you see Martha, who is frantically preparing to receive, which is a great word, that she frantically prepare to receive Jesus in her house. That if you're going to receive Jesus, I think there must be some preparation being made so that you can have this moment with Jesus. Because here's one thing I learned, that for me to enter into his presence, I got to shut some stuff off. I have to read some scriptures to meditate on. Then I play my song. Yeah, this is my song right here for today. For me to go into a time of where I'm preparing. Okay, let me make it very practical. Early in my marriage, I had to learn how to prepare certain evenings to be with my wife. I call and set reservations, put on my best outfit, put on my best cologne, get a fresh haircut, pick up, go on the other side of the door and open it up. Come on, go on in. Turn on our music, because I got my own playlist. Because I'm preparing for the encounter. And how much more should we prepare for an encounter with Jesus? I'm not saying put on your best outfit. But put on your best knee pads if you're going to go down to the place of worship. Put on the right music that puts you in the mind and the framework of worship. So Martha is working frantically, but Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus. It reveals three truths, and I'm almost done because we got to make room for prayer. The first thing, if you don't want to miss Jesus, that you need to do is that you got to make preparation for Jesus. As I stated, she did the right thing. She made preparation for Jesus. Because at this moment, this was something that was so rare for Jesus to be in her house. This doesn't happen very often. And this was a very special moment for Jesus to be in her house. Here's the reason why. First of all, it tells us that Jesus did not care about the norms of society. Because at that time, religious leaders, Jewish rabbis, wouldn't find themselves anywhere near a woman's house. And here's Jesus. Let me get me a chair. Here's Jesus. He don't care anything about social norms. What Jesus care about is, can I make my place at your place? Can I come in and be received at your house? And I feel that at times that when we think about our own personal house, that Jesus has no room in our house. Okay, y'all left me by myself. Because we're not expecting him to show up. And for Mary, she's doing all that she can to prepare to receive Jesus. But not only this, watch this. It also shows us this other thing, that worship for women were restricted to some degree. That when you look at the temple, the women had their own court of worship. It was a court of women. So you had the holy place way up there and these women way back here. Just before the court of the Gentiles, among those who had leprosy and these other issues, the court of women was right in the middle of this. So they couldn't even get close enough to the holy place. So just before them, you had the men who gathered together. Then before them, you had the priest. And before that, you had one priest who could enter to the holies of holies. And here it is, Jesus, who's the holy of holies, in her house. No longer is she reserved for being way back here to worship him. Now she have him right in the middle of her house, sitting down, and she's busy working. There's no more restrictions. There's no more barriers. The Holy of Holies is right there in the house. This is something that's unprecedented. This is something that's extraordinary. And Jesus is in the house, and she finds herself being so preoccupied that she can't worship him at his feet. Let me say this, that there's privilege when we can get to Jesus and have him in the place. Because what this is saying is that Jesus was not only in the house, but watch this, Jesus was accessible. That the Holy of Holies is not so far away, he can't be reached. But the Holy of Holies is right here in your house. And if he's in the house, tell you that bit, you gotta worship him. But before we throw any shade on Martha, and when I mean shade, I mean being critical. Okay, some of y'all didn't catch it. Okay. Before we get too upset at her, we need some Marthas in the house. Now, you can worship all day, but there are times you got to do some work. You ain't got to say amen. There are times we worship, but then there are times we got to work. So don't criticize Martha too much. She understood that I got to serve, I got to work, I got to prepare. But at some point, you got to say, okay, I got to stop now. Now it's time to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because if not, work will become your worship. And no longer are you fixing your eyes on the one who's supposed to get the worship. Now, because you become so busy with work, now I'm worshiping this work now. Yes, yes, I got to please work now. I got to honor work now. But sometimes work got to take a seat so that I can elevate Jesus to his proper place. And that's where Martha is missing this. But then when you look at verse 40, I want you to see the second truth that's really interesting to me. When you see this, you see misplaced priorities now affects, watch this, her worship, her relationships. Mm-mm, leave that right there. Mm-mm, thank you. So watch it. When you look at verse 40, let's go back to verse 40. Don't miss this. Look at verse 40. She says this, but Martha was distracted. Everybody say distracted. With much serving, and she went up to him and she complained. All right.
And who she complained about? She complained about her sister. Now, if you remember when we read this, it says that this was, watch this, Martha's house. Mary was just either visiting or just stopping by. She was not paying any rent. She wasn't contributing anything. And Martha is working, and she sees her lazy, no good sister taking up all this space, and she's not contributing nothing. Jesus, you need to get her. She ain't put nothing on this encounter with Jesus, and how dare her just sit on her behind? The least she can do is clean a pot. The least she can do is clean up the floor or something. And what happens is that Martha starts experiencing bitterness in her heart because now she's angry. And so often is the case that we don't know what causes us to have these moments. We don't know what was happening really in Martha's heart that caused her to miss Jesus. But what we do see is that it caused her to be so overwhelmed with anxiety and trouble, and now she cannot worship. Her attention is on the work and now on her sister. Jesus is still in the house. Her focus is on the work and on her sister. And that's just like the enemy. He wants us to be so distracted by so many different things, whether it's work or whether it's relationships, people not doing what I need them to do, so I'm mad at them, and therefore I cannot worship Jesus. Why? Because I'm focused on what they did to me or not doing for me. Because here's the one thing I learned about relationships. Relationships are not for your pleasure. I think we live in a society because we consume so much that we take that into a relationship. As long as I can benefit from this relationship, we can be cool. But the moment I start benefiting from this relationship, we ain't cool. Martha said, okay, you can be in my house as long as I can benefit, oh gosh, from you being in my house. But because you're in my house, I'm not benefiting from you, I can't stand you. Now she's overwhelmed with anxiety and trouble. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says she was so distracted. It's the Greek word paraepo. Say paraepo. It literally means that she was drawn around, that she was so busy working that her distraction was now leading her, that her distraction was now guiding her. This work was now ordering her steps. Her work was now directing her path. No longer is the Lord directing her path. No longer is the Lord ordering her steps, but now work is. But the Lord wants to order every one of our steps. But if you're not careful, the work and people would begin to order your steps for you. If you don't allow the Lord to order your steps, guess what's going to happen? Other stuff will. And for her, she was now drawn away. Okay, think about it like this. She was multitasking. How many multitaskers do we have in the house? You ain't got to lie. Or you do your best attempt at multitasking. Do y'all know when that word actually came to fruition? In the 1960s. It came as a way to describe computers that can multitask. It was never a term for people. A term that was relegated to a computer, a machine, we've now co-opted to make it a practice, and we even describe it as a skill we have. When we're interviewing, oh, I can multitask, I can get it done. And all that does is keep you more distracted on the things that matter the most. God did not create us to be multitaskers. God created us to be worshipers. And she's trying to multitask and missing Jesus at the same time. But then the third truth, when you look at verses 41 and 42, this third truth shows us that making Jesus your daily practice. You must make Jesus. You must pursue Jesus as a daily practice. Why is this important? Because the Lord has a way of realigning you. Just like with a car, you experience bumps in the road, right? You can't avoid them, especially up here. I see like y'all got potholes the size of the Grand Canyon. I'm like, Jesus. You go on, and every now and then as you're going, it causes your car to get out of alignment. And it causes damage to your car if you don't address this issue. And so you have to go to a mechanic that can see how to get your car back in alignment so that you won't cause further damage to your car. See, we're just like that we will go through life and we'll experience all these bumps in the road. And every now and then, we have to get before Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to realign me because I find myself off course. And so I need to get to you. And Jesus, I see where you're off and I see where you need some attention. And so I can get you right back on track so that you can be at your very best. So you got to be realigned. Tell your neighbor, you got to be realigned. But watch what Jesus says. When you look at verses 41 and 42, he calls her name twice. Martha, Martha. Similar to others who've heard their name called twice. When you hear the Lord call somebody's name twice, it means pay attention. Something extraordinary is about to happen. I need you to pay attention. Stop doing what you're doing. Focus on what I'm about to do. Abraham, when he was about to sacrifice Isaac, he had the knife up. He was ready to come bring down the hammer. And then God says, Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. Why? Because he says, there's a ram in the bush. But if you're not careful, you'll be so focused on the task that you could potentially cause injury to yourself or somebody, and you can't hear God saying, Stephen, Stephen, pay attention. You're about to run into a ditch. So we got to have ears to hear his voice. Tell your neighbor, hear his voice. But you got to love Jesus' response. He doesn't chastise her. He doesn't rebuke her because, again, she's doing a good thing. But what does Jesus do? He gently eases her back on course. Because every now and then we need the Lord to just kind of get us back on course. There are times, let me borrow you, son. Come here. There are times where with my son, he's going to get a couple different versions of daddy. he's going to get this. Now, son, you know you probably should have took out the trash today. And he'll say, yeah, I'll get that taken care of, okay? There are times it needs that kind of touch, right? But then there'll be some things that he'll do that doesn't require, hey, son, did y'all pick up the difference? There are times I need to gently get him on course. Hey, son, let's get that trash taken care of. But then there are times I just can't even, no, I need you. Y'all picking up what I'm saying? Good job. Thank you. Son, hand. Don't he look good in that jersey? And there are moments with Jesus that he snatches us up and he takes us somewhere. But then there are times, just like he's doing with Martha. Martha, Martha, come here, baby. I just need you to focus on the main thing. The main thing ain't preparing for me. The main thing is what your sister is doing. And that's exactly what he does. There are times when we can be so consumed with our work that the Lord just gently comes into our life and he says, Arnold, Arnold, I need you to just come over this way just a little bit. You're a little off course. Let me gently get you back on course. And that's good news for the believer, that the Lord is not always this wrathful, vengeful person who's coming to try to take you out. The Lord loves you, and because he loves you, he's able to guide you and get you back on course when he sees that you're off course. I'm so glad that when I'm off course, that the Lord gently guides me back on course. Now, it shows us that Jesus cares about work ethic, but he's more concerned about our worship ethic. Will the Lord describe us as a worshiper? Know what he says. He says, now, Martha, what you're doing is good. But what she is doing It won't be taken away. I hope you catch with this. Martha, what you're doing is good. But what she is doing can never be taken away. Okay, I'm going to try that one more time. Martha, your work is good. Thank you for serving. But what she is doing can never be taken away. Okay, y'all not catch this. Okay. Martha, you can only do this for so long. You can only serve and sacrifice for so long. Because there's going to be some mitigating factors that would affect your doing. But worshiping will be something you can never be taken away from. So you can worship here or you can worship in heaven. She said, she's doing something that can never be taken away. But this right here can be taken away. Keep living long enough. Whatever you're doing right now, mess around and leave this place. Somebody else will pick it up and keep going. So you better learn how to worship God and not allow your work to define you. He says, what she's doing won't be taken away. Tell your neighbor, learn to worship. Now watch this, and I love this. So while Martha is working, she needs some help. Oh, gosh. She needs some help. She goes to Jesus and tells Jesus to tell her sister to help. Okay, let me try that one time over here. Martha's working. She needs some help. She goes to Jesus. Jesus, tell my sister to help me. Okay, some of y'all still ain't getting. Okay, let me try right here. Martha needs some help. She can't do it all in her own strength. She goes to Jesus. Jesus, tell my sister to help me. Okay, some of y'all still ain't getting. Okay, let's try it like this. The creator and the maker of the universe is in her house. She's needing some help with something. Rather than trusting that Jesus can help her with that something, she goes to somebody else to help her. And I'm telling you that what we need to do is say, okay, yes, I need friends, I need people to help me, but every now and then, I need to get to Jesus. Because there are some things friends can't help me with. I wish I had some help. There are some things that a good confidant can't help me with, but there are some things that I just need to go to Jesus about. So rather than going to everybody else, I need to learn to get to Jesus. Tell your neighbor, I need you, but I need Jesus more. So here's a couple things you need to make note of to practice this week over this time of fasting and praying. A few things, then we'll be done. First, the first thing you need to learn to do, take a Holy Ghost time out. Let me explain. It's called a sabbatical. Some denominations have kind of hijacked what a sabbatical is. A Sabbath is not a day of the week. It's a practice of saying, God, I'm going to unplug from stuff and I'm going to plug into you. It's deliberate steps to pull away from so I can put my attention to something else, okay? So for those who were Jewish, what they would do is that they would stop. Matter of fact, they would even prepare what they need for the next day so that they wouldn't have anything to distract them on that Sabbath. So they would prepare their meals beforehand. They would do all their cleaning beforehand because on the day of the Sabbath, they don't want to cook nothing to be a distraction. They don't want to do anything that's going to be a distraction. Why? Because they want to set their attention on the Lord. Now, what I am saying, we're not saying go to that extreme. What I'm saying is you got to make preparation to encounter Jesus. It's not going to happen by accident. You're not going to trip and say, oh, I done met the Lord. Oh. You don't trip into that. It is deliberate and intentional. So I'm going to carve out my day. I'm going to spend 15 minutes with my phone in airplane mode, having my music playing. I'm turning down so I can turn up. I'm turning down so I can turn up. Tell your neighbor, take a Holy Ghost time out. And let me say this, and this is a faith move. When you say, I'm going to unplug for stuff, that's a faith move. Because some of us like to feel needed and wanted. And sometimes it's hard for us to unplug from stuff. When you say, I'm going to unplug, you're saying, God, I'm trusting you that whatever phone call is going to happen, it's going to be okay. I don't have to answer it right then. I can get back to it later. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Don't trip. That's why we have voicemail. Amen. Number two, take a seat at Jesus' feet. And this is a focused move. That's saying, God, I'm not going to allow my mind to drift off to other things. I'm going to dedicate my mind and my attention to you. As we stated before, there's always a temptation to drift off into other thoughts. So here's what I typically do when I find myself drifting. If you don't have a scripture before you go into meditation, find one and use that as your anchor. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So if I'm meditating, okay, all right, be still and know that I'm God. Okay, be still and know that I'm God. Man, did I reply to that email? Oh, I'm sorry, be still and know that I'm God. Oh, my phone ringing. Be still and know that I'm God. There's a knock at the door. Be still and know that I'm God. Because there's going to always be something that's going to keep you from encountering his presence. So tell your neighbor, don't get distracted. Thirdly, and this is most important, take inventory of what areas need alignment or realignment. What areas of your life need to be realigned? And this is what I would describe as a forging move. There was a show that came out years ago. I'm not sure if it still comes on. I used to watch it quite often. It was called Forged by Fire. And what they would do, they would take this raw piece of metal, and they were given a task to make this metal into a weapon. It's just this regular little piece of metal. They take it, they heat it, and they beat it. But here's what you don't want to miss. And what they would do once they beat it, they would look at it. They would see where it's off. They would see where it needs some more attention. They would stick it back in the heat. They'll bring it out and they'll beat it. They'll look at it, examine it. It's not right yet. They'll stick it back in there. Bring it back out and they'll beat it. Why? Because they know what they've envisioned this weapon to be. God has already envisioned what you will become. He knows the potential. He knows what you're going to be. So every now and then we have to go through these heating moments. Oh, gosh. And then we have to go through these beating moments. And what the Lord does, he looks at it, he says, okay, Steve, you're still not right. I got to take you back through. Boom. Because we need that kind of realignment that the Lord provides and only God provides it. No, none of us like it. We don't like the heating. We don't like the beating. But it helps us become what God envisioned us to be. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Don't miss Jesus when he's in the house. Are y'all hearing me? Would you bow with me for a moment? We're going to do an invitation, then we're going to go into our time of prayer. But if there's anybody here today, you're saying, Pastor, I've been missing Jesus. He has not been priority and number one in my life. I've become so preoccupied, or better yet, I've been overoccupied by the work, and I have not found myself worshiping. Thank you. Jesus, it has been in your house. Or for some of us, he's been knocking on your heart, trying to come in. And you've been missing Jesus. Jesus wants to take residence in your house where there's no more restrictions. You can worship him in spirit and in truth. But you first got to answer his call. The Lord wants to be in your house. I'm not talking about your physical house, but the house of your heart. He wants to be the center of who you are. He wants to be priority number one. And your prayers won't be what they need to be if Jesus is not number one. If your prayer list is number one, Jesus is not. Jesus says, I want to be number one in your life. If you're here, you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I,
I have not made Jesus number one in my life. I've been so overoccupied by trying to gain position on jobs, position in my community, political position, whatever it is. Jesus wants to be number one. Would you allow him to be number one in your life? As we began to go into this time of fasting and praying, God, we are not going to allow fasting and praying to be the objective, but fresh moments, fresh encounters with you, God. God, I want to hear the testimonies of the saints, God, of the moments that they have had with you, God. I pray, God, that our services will be forever changed, God, because we've had an encounter with you, Lord. I pray that every one of us, God, would be forever changed because we've encountered you, Lord. Sanctify our time, God, so that we're not so overoccupied, God, by doing things and then all of a sudden remember, oh, I'm on the fast. No, God, set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are below. Because your word is clear that you will indeed keep us in perfect peace as long as our minds are stayed on you, Lord. Give us the strength to endure these next few weeks, God. Because, God, we want more of you and less of whatever it is we are giving up, God. Sanctify every sacrifice, God. From what our children give up to what our seniors give up. God, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom, Lord. But, Lord, I also ask that you would stretch our faith during this time. God, I want us to stretch in this season of fasting and praying, so that we all walk away saying, did our hearts not burn because we've encountered Jesus? God, whatever time we set aside to pray, to have our devotion, sanctify that time, Lord. God, we look for healing. We look for deliverance. We look for affirmation. There are some who are searching for specific answers about specific things that they've been praying for days, weeks, or even years and still feel unclear. God, we ask for clarity, God, during this time of fasting and praying. But God, also guide us. May we be guided by your Spirit each and every day during this fast. Keep us out of the ditches of complacency. God, keep us out of this ditch, God, of being comfortable. God, make us uncomfortable so much that it causes us to turn our face to you. God, thank you. And God, as we stand in agreement, we say it is so. That whatever we set our hearts for these next 2-3 weeks, God, you are going to answer. And God, your answer is sufficient and complete. But God, even in our asking, oh God, thank you. God, give us action that whatever you speak to us, God, that we would obey you without hesitation, God. God, it's not going to make any sense, God, for us to ask you for anything, God, and we sit still and do nothing, God. But God, let us hear you and obey your voice. God, we'll be so careful to give your name the praise. So, Father, I ask as we transition to our time of communion, Lord, that you would sanctify this time as we commune the bread and the wine in remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus. But not only the sacrifice, but the victory that we have in Jesus. That, yes, he gave his life, but yet he also rose again. The Bible says, with all power in his hands.
And God, we worship this true and living Jesus, whom you sent, God. Thank you, because we are forever changed because you sent your Son. Father, we examine our hearts. God, wherever there's fault, God, wherever there's idol worship, God, we repent right now. We confess to you. God, as we commune together, God, we don't want any fault laying at our feet. We want to be found blameless before your sight, God. So we repent, God, cleanse us. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. As our worship team make their way back to the stage, let me just remind you that during this time of fasting and praying, you choose what it is that you want to sacrifice. But I'm going to add something else to you. I want you to have a certain expectation that you want to see from the Lord after these 21 days. Amen? I want you to write it down. I know not every one of us are journalers. We don't like to journal. That's okay, I get it. But I want you to write it down, and I want you to capture this day. Say, okay, God, I'm expecting this after these 21 days of fasting and praying. Amen? Amen? Can we do that? I'm expecting this. I'm expecting to hear this, whatever it is. I want you to write it down so that we can look back on this day, February the 2nd, and say, you know, I wrote this down, Jesus, and you showed up. Amen.